Welcome to TSN, the Reporters in Podcast. I'm Dave Naylor, sitting in for Dave Hodge, and I am joined by Bruce Arthur, Michael Farber, and Steve Simmons to discuss what appears to be an unpredictable offseason for the National Basketball Association. And Bruce Arthur, let's start with Jason Kidd, the first-year head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, who apparently is making a power play with his team and could be on the move. Let's start there.
Remember a year ago when Jason Kidd was playing? And he was a player. And then he got given a coaching job in Brooklyn. Everyone said, wow, that's really fast. I don't know if he's ready for this. And he started out really slow, picked up a little in a weak Eastern Conference, edged past the Toronto Raptors in the playoffs, then got drilled by Miami. Okay, fairly simple. So apparently what's just happened in the last few days, Jason Kidd decided that this 1 year as a head coach of this weirdo basketball team entitled him to go to his bosses, the Russian billionaire and his underlings, and say, you know what? I want more power. I want to be in charge of the franchise. I don't want to just be a coach. I want to be Pat Riley. And the Russians said, no. And Jason Kidd apparently has a buddy who owns Milwaukee now. And he said, well, I'm going to go do it in Milwaukee. And so it looks like he may actually, one, he has the audacity to try to ask out of his contract and take over a franchise 1 year after being a player. Two, he might actually get to do it.
Well, nature and Jason Kidd abhor a vacuum. And Kidd saw a vacuum with Billy King. Billy King, the same general manager who hired him a year ago, now he's stabbing King in the back by trying to leapfrog him. And the Nets have said, go ahead, talk to Milwaukee.
What a weird world the NBA, even just on the coaching front. They take a guy from playing and make him a coach. This offseason prior to this, there's a bidding war basically for Derek Fisher, who's never coached a minute and he's still playing in the league. Mm-hmm. And teams are deciding who's going to hire him. I don't understand the premise of bringing a coach out of nowhere. Jason Kidd had a decent second half of his first year, but it's not exactly like he's the answer to anything right now.
Well, and Steve Kerr is a little more removed from playing days than those two gentlemen, but he also has zero coaching experience. What is with this trend we're seeing in the NBA where coaching doesn't appear to be a prerequisite for coaching?
I have no idea, but it seemed to have worked okay with Jason Kidd, who immediately got rid of Lawrence Frank, mm-hmm. who was brought in to help him out. Frank, the former
or
coach.
Or spy on him. It depends who you talk to.
Well, exactly. And Steve Kerr was well thought of as an analyst, but we have no idea whether he can actually coach or not. And he had the choice of two jobs, Golden State or New York.
And apparently one of the reasons that Jason Kidd is pulling this entire weirdo kingdom of Jason Kidd power play is because he saw how much money Derek Fisher got as the coach of the New York Knicks. Look, setting the New York Knicks as your salary comparable is maybe a little ambitious, but okay. And how much money Steve Kerr got in Golden State. And he said, I'm not making that much money. I should make more, but more. I should have power. But that's the league in which players have all the leverage in the NBA, right? Well, Jason Kidd is acting like a player as a head coach.
Well, you mentioned the word power play a few times here, and of course that brings us to the Miami Heat, where players are opting out by the hour, and Pat Riley is going to have to put the pieces back together, we presume. How does all this play out, Steve?
I wish I had the answer or even begin to explain how this all plays out. It's maddening that there are these sort of cool kid franchises in the NBA, and then there's the not cool kid franchises in the NBA. So you're LeBron James, and you're Dwayne Wade, and you're Chris Bosh. You can now go back to Miami. You can go somewhere else. You can go in tandem with somebody to another place. But there's only certain places. Like, you don't ever hear the Toronto Raptors, for example, being a candidate to sign LeBron James or to sign, you know, Kevin Love or whoever it happens to be. So I don't know where anybody's going. I just know that, again, the people in charge of the franchises are not in charge of the franchises.
And that's it. When you talk about, say, Carmelo Anthony ending up in Miami, it's not going to be Pat Riley who convinces him to come. It's going to be LeBron James.
Well, they all go with their BFFs wherever they really want to go. And it's tough for sports fans who don't follow the NBA on a daily basis to realize that opting out is a good thing for Miami. I'm going to opt out of my contract. Mm-hmm. But it increases the chances for Pat Riley to get the gang back together again. And if LeBron James, who apparently still wants max contracts, can work it out with everybody and make sure he is surrounded by the cast he wants, I mean, the Heat are going to try to resurrect what they had going.
Pat Riley is the one guy, I think, maybe in the entire league, along with Greg Popovich, I guess, who transcends the notion that the players are fully in charge. He did convince the big three to come to Miami. He cleared the salary cap space. He made it work. And he gave a kind of an extraordinary press conference. at the end of the season where he said, basically, and he was speaking to LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, you don't go for the first door when things get rough. You stay if you have the guts. And not a lot of people could get away with this in the NBA. Going to LeBron James, they'd stay if you got the guts. But for Miami to win another title, the league is so tough that you need the best possible players. It's like, imagine if you're playing a pickup game. You want the best guys on your team. The NBA's one big pickup game right now. And there's a few teams that manage to pull guys in. Now, there's still scenarios where Kevin Love, the wonderful power forward in Minnesota, could wind up in Cleveland or Golden State or Houston. Carmelo Anthony could end up in Chicago. LeBron James could end up all kinds of places. But what it is in order to be, in LeBron James' case, the greatest ever, you can't do it alone. You need great players with you.
Did anybody raise an eyebrow of any kind when San Antonio traded for Kawhi Leonard out of that draft pick? Probably nobody even noticed. You know, I think the thing you should be emulating is not Miami and buying free agents and putting them together. You should be emulating the team ball that San Antonio puts together. They keep finding guys to plug in that just make that team better year after year after year.
But we haven't seen a team that plays like that since the Boston Celtics of the mid-'80s, the 86 Celtics teams, and before that, the teams of 20 years before that. So the way to go is exactly what Pat Riley did. Remember, this is a team that won two championships and got to two other finals.
Well, I often complain that sometimes the results of NBA games and NBA seasons are a little too predictable. We can't say that about what happens off the court. That's it for this edition of TSN The Reporters on podcast.